Blog Talk Radio.
Voice just getting longer and longer between that. I get, when I'm waiting to go on the air here, folks, I get a signal from a countdown from Blog Talk, and they say, it's, you know, 5 minutes. Your show will go live in 5 minutes, and then 4 minutes, and then three, and so on. You get the idea. Then it gives me a countdown, 5, 4, 3, 2, 1. And then there's that little thing that I think you guys hear, too. It goes, Blog Talk Radio. It seems to be getting longer and longer between that 5, 4, 3, 2, 1 and the Blog Talk Radio. And it makes me nervous because I think, did it not connect? What do I have to do? Do I have to redial and all that stuff? I'm sorry if I seem a bit anxious. It's been kind of an anxious night. But before we get into the details, let you know that we are on the With Insights channel of blogtalkradio.com. And I share this channel with Iggy and Rosa, and their show is on Monday evenings. Jenny Seek is on Tuesday evenings, and Heather Tapia on Wednesday afternoons. And you can check the With Insights information on Blog Talk. Search for With Insights from blogtalkradio. com, and you can find out all you need to know about those shows and mine. Although I did update my bio some time ago, and I'm not sure if good old Mr. Iggy ever got around to updating it. So it could still be old bio information. I changed it, I guess not so much the bio, because we call it the bio information, but I changed it because sort of the focus of the show had changed. It was more when I started, but my idea was I'm going to be talking more about addiction-related things. I hardly ever talk about that now. So I submitted a bio that was more general, but again, I'm not sure that has made it onto the website. So if you tuned in expecting to hear something like that, maybe I do talk about it occasionally. Again, not as much as I used to. I generally only talk about it when I've had some sort of particular problem, or when I guess that's what I always talk about. It's just whatever is on my mind right now. And I am an adopted Native American practitioner of, medicine is the way we put it popularly. I am considered a healer of society, which means I heal with words. And my modality is that I write and talk about what's in my head, and I send it out into the world, and I trust that spirit will send it to someplace where to someone who needs to hear it. So it is kind of a catch-as-catch-can proposition. You know, it's whatever spirit puts in my brain and in my heart to speak about on a certain evening, that's what comes out, and it's often very different from what I may have planned. So please bear with me as I slog my way through this. It was kind of a weird day, but I do want to actually, before I get into that, let me finish up a little bit more housekeeping here. I often let you guys know that you can get in touch with me in several different places. One of them is mudtoesasquatch@gmail.com. And another one is Mudtoe Sasquatch on Twitter, which is the @MudtoeSasquatch, I guess. I haven't checked either of those in months. So if you've been writing me there, you probably haven't heard any back from me. You might want to try, since those don't seem to be vehicles that I'm getting to review very often. I very often review the Facebook page. I'm putting something on there just about daily now. I have a daily affirmation, and I say daily. It's whenever I get on the computer. It's most days, which is most days now, because I have internet at home now, which I'm going to skip ahead. I'm skipping ahead now, but there's a daily affirmation, and it's called Mudtoe's Burning Questions as well, which I try to get up there daily. I miss some days if I'm away from my computer or there's some other reason why I can't get to it. So my point, in a rather rambling way, is that I am on that Facebook page, Mudtoe Sasquatch, which you can like if you're on Facebook. I'm on that page very often. I'd say probably 4 or 5 times a week. So if you do leave me a message on that page, I am very certain to get it, unless something goes wrong with paper. If you're not on Facebook, why the hell not? I'm not a particularly a fan of Facebook. It's just it's sort of a necessary evil if you're going to be in any sort of passing the word kind of business. I don't really call it word of mouth business. But I'm trying to build an audience of people, and it would be impossible to do. I don't know about impossible. Facebook is a good way to do it, at least from what I read. But if you're not on Facebook or you don't care to use Facebook, I have my own website, which is mudtoesasquatch.com. That's M-O-E-T-O, what is it? M-U-D-T-O-E-S-A-S-Q-U-A-T-C-H. Okay, I'll do that again because I messed up so many times. mudtoesasquatch.com, and that's where my blog lives, and you can make comments on my blog entries. And the only thing I ask is that you give me some indication that you are a real person on a blog. And the best way to do that is to comment on something that's actually in the blog piece. You know, you use a couple of words from the middle and say, hey, I like these words here. And that at least lets me know that you have had some contact with the actual blog that you're writing, even if your question is about the blog. Just read the blog entry or just find something in the blog entry that you can kind of transcribe into your reply so that I know you are not automated. And I will post all qualifying replies in that way. I mean, that I can tell that you're not a bot. And, you know, so long as you're not using any racial epithets or anything like that that's clearly objectionable. What I mean is I'm not going to censor your comment because you disagree with me or because you didn't like what I wrote. I will not disqualify your comments for that. I will disqualify you if you write something racist or that kind of thing. But otherwise, it's fair game, and I love to receive constructive criticism. No, I don't. But I will receive constructive criticism in the spirit in which it was intended. That's kind of a nice segue into what I want to do next, except I'm not going to do that next. I still have to do my bedroom report as well, which I think, I can't remember what name I called that before. I think What's Going On in Mudtoe's Bedroom or something like that. I had some sort of titillating title that I used, and I've forgotten it now because I skipped my show last week. But this is actually the last time I need to do it. Well, maybe not the last time. There's some still things. The bed is finally operational is why I wanted to make sure I noted that. And that was something I was kind of whining about in the last show was I've been avoiding bringing this assembling. I moved from those of you who don't know the story, I moved from my large bedroom to my small bedroom because it's easier to cool and a bunch of other reasons. And I had brought my mattress in the smaller bedroom and had a bed frame that I had recovered from the basement, which was left behind by a previous order, and I was using that, but it was bad because it wasn't the same size as the mattress. It was bigger than the mattress. I needed somebody to step out of the step out of bed and forget that I was actually stepping on the inside of the frame and not the outside, and I was going to wipe out. No, that never did happen. But I finally did manage to get that bed frame out and bring the real bed frame in. And it was quite a struggle, but I did it all by my lonesome without having to call anybody else to help me. It was all that difficult. It's just a matter of alignment mostly and getting things lined up properly, setting in the chair, and then making the thing go together with my sort of manual wrench. I guess they're all manual, but the person who originally built it for me had used one of these wrenches that you can kind of, it's got a rotating head, and you just just kind of like you don't have to go all the way around in a circle to make the thing to make the thing screw in. Well, I had it an old-fashioned pressing wrench, so it was kind of a chore, especially in the places where I was in tight spots. But it's all together now, and it's working fine. So I think we're just going to close the door on that little project, and you won't have to hear about it anymore. So there's that. Now, what else? Am I starting to drive at what I can talk about this evening, what's bothering me? I should say that I did start working on my training at this new job I'm going to start, and next week I'm going to be doing some shadowing at that job, which is that we're working with developmentally disabled people in their homes, and I'm going to the job site a couple days next week, I mean, to see if I can actually stand it. I've stayed at not meeting a bed with Beck, and you know, there's certain pulling of the heartstrings that goes when you work with developmentally disabled people, and a lot of people just can't, you know, they can't take it. Because can't take it is probably a better term to use than can't stand it. Can't take it, you know, emotionally what you go through with people. This is an experience I really have, so it probably is good. But I think, first of all, the other point of the shadowing is you get the training on things you need to know, the day-to-day stuff. And so I have my training on the company on how it works, and I also have now my first aid and CPR training. I'm going to be certified in CPR now. I got down on the floor with the dummy, and I compressed its chest, and I blew in its mouth and made its chest go up. So I'm going to be CPR certified now. Something I've thought about from time to time over the years is something I probably ought to do, but now it gives you sort of some responsibility. Now if I see something, I've never seen someone collapse in a shopping mall or anything like that, but now, of course, it will probably be happening all over the place because now I'm CPR certified, and I am morally obligated to run over there and save that person's life. So if you do decide you want to have your heart attack, you can have it somewhere near me, and I will give you a CPR and blow in your mouth, and you can puke back at me because that's what people do. Kind of a pleasant way to think about that. But it's required to do it for the job, and one hopes one never has to use it. But it's when you live your whole life, you're probably gonna come across at least one incident where you might have to use it. I don't know. I'm kind of hoping I don't, but. It is nice to be able to tell people I am now CPR certified. So, woo, good for myself. Now, what I was trying to get to, and then next week I'm doing my shadowing, and I actually they're so anxious to get people into these jobs. They're letting me double up on my shadowing. I'm working double shifts my first 2 days, and I have never worked double shifts before, so this could be interesting. I'm working 2 days in a row, two double shifts in a row. So I will definitely have to report back on that at our next show next Friday about how that little adventure went. But one of the shifts is an overnight shift, which I'm hoping would not be anywhere near as strenuous as a regular shift, except that you actually do have to be awake. I'm already struggling with the whole waking up in the morning thing, but the shifts I'm going to be doing would be afternoon and overnight, which kind of suits the rhythms of my body. Those are the times I tend to be awake anyway. So perhaps it will work. So in any case, at that level, the kind of number of shifts they're talking about for me, I will definitely be able to make enough money to pay my rent and pay my utilities, and with the other stuff I'm doing, have enough leftover to do some stuff. Even if parts of those other jobs go away because of the interference with this new larger job I'm taking on. So things are moving, things are changing, and a lot of it is about affirmations another one of the symptoms of doing a late night show, you forget words sometimes. Manifesting, that's it. Manifesting, and let me tell you a quick manifesting story, and then I really am going to get to why I'm upset tonight. I was driving to my theater job tonight, and I needed to stop off the bank on the way, at the ATM on the way. And I was very anxious. I didn't know if I had enough time, and there were people, the whole old story of people pulling out in front of you, wherever. And I always think about, boy, they must have gotten together, beforehand and figured out where they're going to pull out in front of me and this, that, and the other. And that happened, a car pulled out in front of me, and I looked up, and there was just a whole line of traffic, as far as I could see, stretching towards the horizon of just traffic backed up, because, 5 o'clock in the afternoon is not a good time to try and find your way around in my city. And it just hit me like a ton of bricks, saying, boy, I am a hell of a manifester. I managed to manifest all that traffic to get in my way. And here's this one thing about affirmations and manifesting. The universe doesn't know about negation. If you're putting, if your vibration is that I don't want a certain thing, my understanding is the universe doesn't hear the don't part. It just picks up the thing that you're sort of focusing on, and it gives you that. So if you're saying, gosh, I don't want a lot of conflict at this job or something like that, conflict is probably what's going to you're going to manifest that. The more you're fighting against something, the more you're going to manifest it. So I was so worried about that traffic. And I looked up, there's like more traffic than I have ever seen, at least in this part of town. And I thought, what's happening here, or what would be best to happen is, instead of, grumbling about the traffic, why don't I make an affirmation that I am going to be at work at 6 o'clock, which is when I need to be there. And then what happens is the traffic that gets in your way is precisely, will delay you precisely enough, or me, will delay me precisely enough that I would pull into work right at 6 o'clock. And it didn't quite work. I made it about, it was about 6 minutes off. It was about 6 minutes early. But, that could be a matter of adjustment of timepieces. So, sort of a celestial timepiece might have been 6 o'clock. But it's like, I had a gentleman, there's an Asian gentleman. I don't know if that really has anything to do with the story, but he was, he had earbuds in, so I'm sure he couldn't hear, but he's like, had taken two or three steps off the curb and was blocking me. I wanted to make a right-hand turn. And he seemed, oblivious to my being there. I tried to peep my horn, and my horn wouldn't peep. So that's a new thing I've noticed that's wrong with my car. It doesn't seem to be any horn. So that'll be something I need to take care of. But anyway, it's like, how does that happen? Somebody just walked out there and blocked me for a few seconds. I mean, it's all part of a plan. It's all part of a cosmic plan. You can think of that cosmic plan as a negative thing. It's a cosmic plan to slow me down. Or a positive thing. It's a cosmic plan to slow me down enough that I will arrive at my workplace when I wish to. I'm not way too early or way too late. So, at least in this case, that's what happened, although it wasn't exactly the time I picked, but maybe plus or 10 minutes. Maybe that's good enough for the universe. I'll have to see how that goes from now on. And now I can get to, because I went to the theater. This is my second night in the row of my theater job, as I run lights and sound at a theater that does mystery and comedy plays. And they serve dinner. It's a dinner theater. And it's one of those things. We're still kind of tired from last night. We had a good show last night. We did the easier show last night, which was the Western show. Then I went to my first aid and CPR training class this morning, and then I come back and took a quick nap. I ate, on the fly in a restaurant, which I shouldn't have done. Came back and got in bed for some rest for about an hour and a half. And then back to the theater. And tonight was the spy play, the secret agent play. And that's the much more difficult one. So the second night, the night that I am a little bit more tired, is the night that requires more focus. And I walk into the place and there's just, negative energy, not so much negativity, but negative energy is just bouncing off the walls. People are not happy tonight. People are not, they've brought a poor energy to this place. It's one of those times when I wish, it was one of those milieus where they don't really know very much about my sort of life as an energetic, as a shamanic kind of presence. And so I can't really talk to them about too terribly much. I mean, it would be, first of all, be something coming completely out of left field to them. They've never heard this from me before at all. So I just have to kind of keep within myself and try to do whatever rituals I can to keep that negative energy from impacting on me, but it's very difficult. Tonight I was fairly successful for the first, hour. Well, let's say until the last 90 seconds of the show. The show went really well until the last 90 seconds. And the last and final music cue. This is a closing song. And let me just say that the cue before that was a cue that had gotten messed up not long ago when I was doing the show, and I took a lot of guff because you know the actors were kind of up there on stage, stuck waiting for the music to start, and it finally did start. You know, you think when you're in the middle of it, you think it's like 5 minutes, but there's really only a few seconds of delay. But you know, I heard about it, including from the owner of the theater. I heard about it, and this is on my mind. And this sort of becomes a big sort of focal point for me. There are a couple of other focal points in the show, too, but I'm very concerned about whether it's going to go right or not. But that one particular one sort of stays on my mind all the time now. And we got through that, and it went fine. And I sort of relaxed a little bit, which I probably shouldn't have done, but I sort of relaxed a little bit because that one was in. And it came to the final music cue, and I pushed the button, and it was in the middle of the song for some reason. I still have no idea why it didn't reset the way all the other cues did. I mean, I must not have, but the thought I pushed the button and didn't push the button, but then why would it have been stopped? I don't know. I just don't. The set of circumstances, you know, the song was stopped, but it wasn't stopped at the beginning. It was stopped in the middle somewhere, and I don't quite know how that happened. So anyway, again, the actors have to scramble to figure out where they're at in the song. You know, the director of the play is all upset because, you know, it didn't look very good, it didn't go right. I'm upset because, you know, I don't want the actors to look bad on my account. And it's some mistake that I've made, and I can't say positively that it was because I don't know what went wrong. I'm trying to figure out, you know, the show's over, we take the lights down and everything like that, and the crowd, they do a little bit at the end where they give out some awards to the crowd, you know, ones who figured out the mystery correctly and all that. And the house lights are supposed to come up over that, during that, and I neglected to turn up the house lights because I was thinking about this other thing that has gone wrong, you know, trying to figure out, you know, is this something that might have gone wrong, and how could I, you know, how could I test that, how could I prove that? And I didn't think to bring up the house lights. And the director comes storming over and says, "Why aren't the house lights on?" So I turn the house lights up. And then the show's over and the audience is filing out. And you know, I know I'm going to hear about that last cue. And I know I'm going to hear about the house lights. You know, this is after we had a beautiful show. That beautiful show right up to the last 90 seconds. But I know that 90 seconds, you know, after that and the two things that got messed up are the only things I'm going to hear about. And so I'm probably manifesting some of this because it is on my mind. I am thinking about it. And I'm in the light booth and trying to, what was it? Someone needed Band-Aid. Somebody cut themselves. They broke a glass and they cut themselves. And I got a Band-Aid out of my little kind of cabinet that I have there in the light booth. And then I couldn't get the drawer to go back in, so I had to pull the drawer all the way out. It was the bottom drawer, so I was sitting on the floor doing this and figuring out what I could take out of the drawer so that, you know, that everything would fit back in and I could get the drawer back in. And while I'm doing this, that's when the director chose to come back to the light booth and tell me what a piece of shit I was and basically accused me of, you know, we fill out these production reports for every show. And he basically accused me of not, you're reporting on things that went wrong during my shows. And that teed me off. You know, I know perfectly well what goes wrong during my shows, and the actors know, and the director know, everybody knows. There's really no way to hide it. And if I don't report on it in a production report, it's because the production report is a tool for the next person who comes along and does the show, because we share, there's more than one stage manager. The next person who comes in to do the show will know, you know, if something did wrong and what to keep an eye out for, or if I changed something, what did I change? It's not, you know, what do I write in a production report? I forgot, you know, I pushed a button and it didn't do what I thought it was going to do. You know, I haven't, well, that actually I would put in. Because I'd say, this, you know, watch out for, you know, the CD2, the thing was in the middle of the song, I haven't figured out why. Okay, yeah, that I would report on. I mean, if I just made a, you know, think about the lights, I didn't turn the lights on, I wouldn't report on that because it was just a dumb mistake on my part. I mean, what's the point of, you know, putting that in the report? There's nothing to fix. There's nothing, you know, there's no technical advice being put on. It's just I did a dumb thing. So I kind of pushed back a little bit on that one. I didn't think that was entirely fair. And he backed off. I think don't know, I think he's just very used to people, from what I've observed anyway, he's just very used to people allowing him to whip them. I think they just ignore it. I think kind of rolls off the back more than, but I'm not someone who's ever been able to do that. You know, I remember when I was 7 years old and I got a 98 on a timed multiplication test. And I didn't hear about the 98 I got right. I heard about the 2 I got wrong. And I was curious that when I was 7, do that math, at least 30 years, and I'm still harboring the resentment on that little bit of criticism with you, just the one bit of negativity remembered and the rest of the positivity, just the things that have gone well, just that doesn't mean anything. The things that you do well don't mean anything. It's very much the feeling I get from the the director and the owner and basically everyone involved in the theater that I work for is just the good stuff that you do doesn't matter. It's just entirely focused on stuff that goes wrong. And I think that means that with a lot of people doing it, that probably means that we're manifesting a lot of other stuff going wrong. The universe thinks that's what we want. If that's what we're interested in, if that's all we're thinking about, is the things that are going to go wrong, then that's what the universe is going to give us. So these are the sort of lessons that I'm hearing, and that, of course, after having said that, I was grumbling all the way home about how that pissed me off, thinking about things that I was going to write in my production report to get back at him. There are some things, though, maybe I'll have to figure out where the where the most appropriate form for maybe airing these things. Maybe it's just to talk to the guy. I don't know. But he was rather aggressive with his language. I've never had anyone direct the F word at me before. I've been working for 30 years. I've never had anyone say, he didn't call me anything involving me, but the dreaded F word was well integrated into his comments. And that was very off-putting to me. And just the implication that I would try to hide the mistake I had made. It's the furthest thing from my mind. It's a matter of utility of the report. It made me angry. The way he decided to handle it made me angry. And probably the best thing to have done was to have told him that, and maybe that's just what I need to tell him. It made me, the way he handled it made me angry. And I guess secondarily to that, I know that the next thing I'm probably going to hear about is one of my duties after the show is to put the greenery back in the windows. They bought these plants that are supposed to sit on the stage for the first act of the show. And then you take them off the stage, and at the end of the show, we're supposed to put them back in the window so they can get more sun. And I think I got to one of them, but the other one, I was just so pissed off at what the director said to me. I don't think I did it. I think it's still sitting where we stuck it after the first act. So that may be something else that I hear about. If I do, I'm just going to deal with it. I mean, that's probably, of all the things that went wrong today, that's probably what I feel the worst about. Just for the sake of that poor plant, it's not going to get done now. So there's another half an hour that just blew by, I think, because I just got my 90-second warning. So I want to thank you for joining me here on Mud Show at Midnight. But I don't think I ever introduced myself, did I? I just jumped right in, but it is. The show is Mud Show at Midnight. I am Mud Show Sasquatch. Please take a look at my blog on mudtoesasquatch.com or on the Mud Toe Sasquatch Facebook page. Make comments in either place about what you like, what you didn't like, what you like about the show, what you don't like about the show. And thank you for listening. Talk to you next week. Bye-bye.